But we are conscious that your grace is sufficient. Because, Lord, we are accountable, we are responsible, because you are giving us light. You are revealing what flesh and blood cannot reveal. And it is a great, great privilege to be able to hear the word of God. And to allow your word, the sword of the Spirit, to change, to deliver, to conform our lives to the image of Jesus. Father, we want to thank you for this now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Well, today I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 27. And here it says here, where it's in the context of Jesus' teaching on the fear of God, he says here in verse 27, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." And I'm calling our teaching today, Discerning Between the Light and Dark Times. Discerning Between the Light and Dark Times. There are times when God allows us to go through the experience and discipline of darkness, and he does this to teach us to hear and to obey him. Remembering, it says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. So he opens up with what I tell you in the dark. Now, it might seem a bit strange, wouldn't it? Because we're children of the light. And here the Lord is talking about the dark. And this is why I'm calling this today, Discerning Between the Light and the Dark Times. It's interesting that birds are taught by nature to sing not only during the daytime, but at night. And certainly when dusk is coming, I don't know whether you go out sometimes, but as it's just getting dark and everything, they're very chatty, very noisy. A lot of noise going on. And they're actually communicating. They not only communicate, of course, during the daytime, but they're communicating at night. And one of the reasons why we think that they're communicating at night, it's not just a territorial thing, but they're communicating their warning of predators. That's what they're doing. And so God does, in a similar way, spiritually, the same thing. We have got to learn and take on board that we are in a continual warfare. We are in a fight. Every day, every second of the day, every heartbeat, every pulse, we are in warfare. Your body is in a warfare. This life is in a warfare. God is in a warfare. Light and darkness are conflict in warfare. We are children of the light. The world is of darkness. We're in warfare. It is a continual warfare. And God says that in that whole process of a warfare, we can actually find rest for our souls. That we can find that place of rest by faith. With the storms raging all around, here we are in the palm, in the center of God's hand. And that, you know, is ultimately the working, what God is doing. Because if we don't experience this, the bride doesn't make herself ready. She's still then caught up in fear and anxiety and frustrations and all the things that we go through as Christians. So we are in this conflict. We're in this warfare. And it's, you can't escape wherever you run, whatever you run to. You know, Jonah tried it. He still was in a conflict, found himself in the fish's belly. So it doesn't matter where you run to. So then we have to stop. We have to learn. And we have to let God lead us and guide us and teach us. And this is what he's saying here. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. Because it's where God speaks. And so often, God can only speak to us and get our attention in the times of when it's dark. So he's really saying something here, which almost seems contrary to the salvation and the message of faith and the walk and whatever it is. And just like those birds, they learn, they communicate so that they can keep safe even at night because predators are around. You say to me, well, you know, birds are pretty safe at night with predators and whatever. Well, this one bird comes to mind, a predator at night. The Mr. Owl, he's at his busiest at night, is he not? So, there we are. You see, at times, God puts us in the shadow of his hand until we learn to hear from him. And we've got scripture for that. Let's turn to Isaiah 49 and verse 2. Isaiah 49... and verse 2. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he has hidden me. I believe as Christians we can only really have something worth saying and hearing when we have learnt what it is to abide in the dark, preserved and kept by God. This is why we don't find many followers at the moment who want to join us, because they're still battling this one with God. They prefer to be out on the mountaintops, and after all, who doesn't? But when you're dealing with the valleys, which can be the dark crevices, where so often that is where God trains you and teaches you, you don't find so many want to follow that. But I think that there is coming a change, and there will come a change, because you can't survive too long on the mountaintops. Ministries are trying to keep God's people out high on the mountaintops, giving them a load of promises that they can't really keep. And do you know what is so tragic? That these ministries, so often, they're the ones at the end of the day that benefit from it for a while. With all the rest of the followers keeping them on the mountaintops, struggling themselves. It's such a deception. But I think the tide is changing. I think now you can only go so far, you can only entertain to a certain point, and human nature being like it is will not be sufficed and satisfied by it. We're actually only satisfied, believe it or not, when God trains us. And yes, he takes us into the dark valleys, because it's there where we learn. It is there where we begin to grow up, mature. It is there where we have a real message to say. Is it not? Amen. Now, this idea of being hid, which we've spoken about, which our Lord speaks about in Matthew and also in Isaiah 49, it's the idea of being a servant. And this is where we get this idea of serving, being a servant. A servant is fundamentally hid. It's the idea of where you are not really part of the main household. You do your chores. You're often hid away in other places or downstairs or in the basement. You're working, you're doing everything, but you're not really seen. That's the idea of this being hid. And God does that with us to train us and teach us to serve in the house of God, to put others before ourselves. This is the whole idea. This is the message. That is what the cross is about, you see, which we keep focus. We don't lose sight of it. And so when God puts you in the dark, he keeps our mouth closed. That's often what the dark is to do. He brings us to these places so that he can try and silence us. And he uses our trials and our circumstances and everything that we go through so that when you speak in the dark, you will probably say the wrong things. And that's what we do. Because dark brings out fear. Trials are fundamentally dark in nature. Our trials, in a sense, we don't know where we're going. We don't know what's happening. We don't know what the end result's going to be. We just have to trust and look to the Lord and wait on him. So this is what these dark periods, in a sense, they do. And what God is doing in these dark times, these trials, he's getting us to a place where we are exhausted, we come to the end of ourselves, and we're only then too willing, after being broken, to then listen to him and what he has to say. You see, when we have a trial and when it starts, we're all full of this. We're panicking. It's all coming out. Oh, it's the end, Lord. I can't see any way out of this. And, you know, why is this happening? And all the fear and all the anxiety and so on. And it's all coming to the surface because God has a reason for it. If you're going to get delivered and you're going to see the mighty hand of God deliver you, he not only allows you to go into the dark, but he brings us to the end of ourselves when we're then still and then he begins to speak. And always when God speaks, the nature of his speaking is deliverance, is healing, is salvation. But you see, God has to get our attention. He has to get us to be listening to him. And we're not very good at listening to God. That's why we have so much to say. That's why we're so busy trying to put other people right and so on. But the Lord knew that. The Lord knows man's nature. He knows his weakness. But when we finally come to the end of ourselves, we raise those hands, that's it, Lord, I'm finished. There's nothing more. I'm at the end. That's ultimately what God wants. Because then God takes over. And we are learning, aren't we? God's beginning to get our attention now in this church, that we're actually only too pleased to get to the end of what this is, so that God will take over. We're actually coming to the place where we now believe and know that in the depths of those trials, God loves us enough and nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. We're only actually too willing for death to take over and then see God's mighty hand deliver and bring us through. That's what he's doing. And that's exactly what God was doing with our Lord and Saviour. On that night, as he sweat drops of blood, travailing in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was the same principle. So that when he had finished that communication, that prayer, that intercession, becoming the sin bearer of the world, taking our sins upon his shoulders, he could go to the cross. He let them then do it like a lamb to the slaughter. Why? Because he knew love could never separate him from the Father, and the Father was going to raise him up. It's the same working God's doing with us. And where's he doing it? Not on the top of the mountains, down in the valleys, in the dark, in the crevice, in the palm of his hand. He's teaching us that nothing will separate us from the love of God. And that our emotions, feelings, whatever we're going through, whatever the devil's saying, has got nothing ultimately to do at the end of the day with that. So that's the wonderful thing, isn't it, about it. Darkness is a time when actually we listen. We don't even talk to other people about it. And that's what God is getting us as we grow up. In our trials, we don't have to go running to the arm of the flesh. We don't have to run to the pastor to get a word from God. We don't even have to keep opening our Bibles. Lord, give me a Bible verse that I can hold on, whatever. He's ultimately working so that he gets us to a place you are hearing from God. And you'll hear from him when you stop speaking, when you stop trying, searching, you become still in his presence. That's why he takes us into the dark, in order to do that. You don't even have to read books or put your ears to things or conversations or listen to messages 100 times so that I've got it on the 100th time. Can have a place, don't get me wrong. But what I'm trying to say is, what those actions coming out of you, and we've all done it, or we all do it, is basically saying, Lord, I want to hear from you. That's what we're saved for. That's what relationship is about. If you cannot communicate and you can hear from God, because God hears enough from us, then something's wrong. God's getting our attention. It's about you and me. It's not about you and me via somebody else. And sadly, this goes on. This is so prevalent in churches, where, you know, the ministry is idolized, and so they become the mouthpiece to God's people. It should never be. That's not what salvation is ultimately about. And that is why he takes us into the dark. Because in the dark, you can't see where you're going. You put a mask over your eyes, particularly at night, and I've done this, And you will find you begin your senses completely alter. Suddenly it all becomes different. You suddenly become very sensitive to touch. Your arm movements, your feet and everything move quite differently. You don't move at such a speed. You are cautiously moving your feet around so that you make sure you are secure when you walk. And your hands go out because obviously you don't want to bang into things or whatever it is. And the other thing also as well, not only in touch, but your hearing alters. Your hearing suddenly becomes very, very sensitive to sound, to noises, to listen. You know? That's what happens when God takes us into the dark. We're out of our comfort zone. We're no longer depending upon those things that we take for granted each day. And of course, they're given to us for a purpose, but God takes us out of the spiritual comfort zone. And that really is what the deeper life is all about. It's about coming out of the religious comfort zone that so many want to stay in. Because you have to start to walk by faith on the water. And the only way you learn this is that God takes you into the dark so that you have, not only when you hear him speak, that you're able then to be able to share the good news of the gospel. Because that's what Matthew 10:27 is about. Let's just remind ourselves again that he says here, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. He's talking about the church as a light, the church sharing the good news. He's talking about ministers that go out and preach the gospel. You have nothing to preach. You've got nothing unless God's taken you in the dark and brought you to the end of yourself. Then you can listen and hear what the Spirit is saying, and then you can take the life of that message to a dying world. That's how it works. You know, we even have to be careful. We say, oh, we have the Word of God, we've got the sword of the Spirit. Amen, we have. But the Word of God, these 66 books, have to be a word that is taken today, now, for this season. You can't live on food that was given out 30, 60 years ago. And we still know people who will only listen to a certain preacher and listen to certain messages, won't listen to anything else. They're stunted. They're not growing. And very often they're held in fear, suspicion, and bondage. God will not let us get in that state. And there's no way I want to follow God like that. That's religious. That is bondage. I want to hear what God is saying today. But I know there's a cost to that. And I know that God has to get me to a place where he shuts me up so that I can hear then what he's saying. You know? And many, many of the saints, when you read them, have all gone through the same, where God's had to get them to a place spiritually or to a place in the desert to shut them up, then to speak to them. And when God speaks, you change. You are healed. You are delivered. You are revived. We are coming to a place, brothers and sisters, I can only speak for this church, but we have been a long, long time in the dark, dry, barren, in the depths of the valley, but we're held in by God's love and mercy. And what has he done? He's brought us, he's reduced us to the end of ourselves so that we're in a place now where we can listen and hear from God. What for? For deliverance, for change, so that the message the life that God has placed in this church will be new manna for the people when they hear it. I am so convinced of that. That's why I stay in this. Because it would be so easy to opt up and just go. But that's not what God has done. He has not brought us thus far. There is a reason. It's just he's trying to get us so that we're all silent. We're finished. We're now ready to listen what God has to say. Not even talking to other people, not even searching for anything else. It is God and us as we listen as a church. You see? As I've said, the dark makes us sensitive. We become aware of movement, of voices, of anything. We become so sensitive. Why is this such a training? Why is it he's taking us to the absolute ultimate? I said right at the beginning, we are in warfare. Everything is in a fight. Everything is trying to survive, to live. That is what warfare is about. The church is in a warfare. Why? Because she must survive. She must live. And God has decreed that she lives and not dies. That is why we're planted on the rock of Jesus Christ. If it was not for that, the enemy would have destroyed this centuries ago. And you're only going to look at church history to see how he has tried to destroy the Christian church over the centuries. But he has failed every time. And why is it the church has stood when God has brought her into the darkness, where he then can speak, and then she can speak out into the light? That is how God does it. It's to help us to hear and to preach on the housetops. That's what he says there. He says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. But you can't do that until you have heard. And many think they've heard and they've gone out, but they're preaching a false message. It's a false light. It's not what the Spirit is saying. But there's coming a time, brothers and sisters, where that is not going to last. It's falling. This religious Babel is falling. And he's got it all prepared. He's kept us hid, prepared, ready to feed in the last days. We're seeing signs of it happening. Our brother has just come back from Kenya. What did he go out there for to do? To feed. Seed. Because that is the most vital part of the Christian church. Anybody can go out and preach, but it takes a man who has been trained by the Holy Ghost to plant seed and to nurture babies so that they can mature from the milk onto the meat of the word. That sorts out the men from the boys. You see? And very often it doesn't look dynamic. Very often it's just hid away, nurturing with a few. And the patience that is needed. And you think, if I've told them once, I've told them 100 times, you know? But your strength, it's there. You've got God's heart there, you see? Where did you learn that? You learned that in the valleys, deep, deep down. Dry, barren, nothing happening. Mm-hmm. Seems as though God has left us, but they are the right conditions to deal with the mess, the state that the church is in these last days, because she is in a state. Mm. She is in a mess. Make no bones about it. I listened the other night. Just for a while, I was flipping through the channels and waiting for the news, and I came on to a, I'll call it religious, and a forefront minister, I won't mention who the person is. Dear, 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 I watched it for about 5 minutes. The auditorium was full. I should think there must have been 4,000. And this person strutting around like a peacock. Got all the answers, you know. And I'm not coming against in the sense of the person, because it was so easy to do that. I'm looking more at the overall, just the whole setup and what it is. It's pure entertainment. Entertaining the people. They know how to beguile them, to seduce them. They know how to say the right thing. They'll bring a little bit of scripture. Oh, well, it must be of God. They're using the word, you know. Oh, yes, they'll teach the word, but you listen to the interpretation after it. Completely off. And all the while, it's all this new age, elevating, building up the inner self, the self-life, making you godlike. It is so subtle. Where is the cross? It's not to be found. It's not to be found. That's why, brothers and sisters, we've got to discern between the light and the dark. What has the dark produced? Because any true work of God has got to spend a period in the dark to learn. And most run away from that. Even Jonah, after 3 days, he had to go into the dark, into the belly's fish, in which to again get the right message, to get God's heart, a heart of forgiveness, to then go and prophesy to Nineveh. Because we all know what the story is of him. That was the last place he wanted to go to. And very often, it is the last place and the last thing you want to do where God often takes you. That's why he has to take you into the dark to put his heart into you to go then with that true message. You see? I don't know of any true minister, who would say, oh, I can't wait to go to that place. Because it's never happened to me. No. You learn those through the dark times. Hallelujah. You see, darkness is to help us hear and preach on the housetops. You then got a true message. It's like, you see, when you're in a dark tunnel, and our trials are like dark tunnels, aren't they? And you think, just give me a glimmer of light. Just a bit of hope. Just something. And you still find, after you bear that out, still dark. Still dark. How much longer, Lord? And suddenly, when you're finished and God's finished you, you come out into the light. I tell you what, you don't half appreciate that light. Oh, it's like a new world, a new start, a new birth. You know? That's what it's like. Why? Because God has done something to you. And so when you're out in the light, that light is seen, because God is light. And we are children of the light. And there is great light that God has attached to the deeper life. It's life. It's hope. And so those dark periods, whether individually or corporately, when we're out of it, that light is so going to penetrate and touch people. I'm reminded of Moses when he came down from Sinai. He had to have his face covered. The light was too much. We are children of the light. And we bear that light. We reflect it. It's by God with us. That's all it is. God can only be with us when we've learnt what it is to be in the dark. It seems at times forever when we're in the dark for God to speak. But it's that that keeps us humble. Which brings me on to the second point in this. See, God's ever having to deal with pride. He's ever teaching us and keeping us in that place where our knees are to be constantly bowed in his presence. So the darkness teaches us to humble ourselves in the presence of Almighty God. And that's why he takes us into those periods and times. Because many times God has been speaking to us. Maybe he's been speaking to us for days, months, or even years sometimes. But how long does it take me to actually listen when God has been speaking? And God often does that. And eventually, when you come to the end of yourself and you're still before God, one of the first things that you become very sensitive, Lord, you've been speaking to me for ages about this. I just didn't want to hear. I didn't want to hear. You see, we've all got selective hearing. And we all do it. And we're all masters at it. You learn right from an infant selective hearing. You really do. And so God, again, has a way in which he brings us to the end of ourselves and he uses the dark, and eventually when we're at the end of ourselves, then God begins to speak his will, his sovereign will, and we say, okay, Lord, it's over to you. Accomplish it, fulfill it, work it. Then the peace, the joy, the rest, that striving, everything just flushes away, doesn't it? Because we're resting in the perfect will and plan of God. That's why it takes grace. It takes grace because he's worked in our hearts both to will and do for his good pleasure. But a lot of that, brothers and sisters, is only learnt in the dark places. When God hides us, he brings us to himself. And it's in the dark places of where he's going to meet with us. And then at the end, when we've seen what the dark does, we then see the light that is produced. You see? When God created the world, he divided the light and the dark. The two are complementary. When you see a full moon at night, all you are seeing, the reflection of that moon, is from the light that it's reflecting onto the moon. That's all it is, because the moon is fundamentally dark. And so we are those reflections, but we can only reflect God's love to a dying world when we have experienced the dark. That's why I'm a great believer we have to go through light and dark times to have a message, a good message, which the gospel is. The message is good news to a dying world. But I raise that question, sadly, how much of it is a good news to a dying world? That's the question. And it's very easy to criticize them and say, well, they're not preaching this, they're not doing that, or whatever it is, and probably they're not. But if you've really learnt, if you've really understood, and if you really are experiencing what the dark is saying, Lord, they may be getting it wrong, but work with me that I may get it right for your glory. It starts with me. Those days are gone where we criticise, we look, we blame. Yes, we have to warn, of course we do. But ultimately, that they ain't going to change. It's not going to change. You can argue with it. You can take elders to one side. You can do whatever you do. And we've seen people flog themselves. And I've done it over the years. And do you see any change? Nothing. The only change comes is, Lord, start with me. That is the change. That is maturity. That is sonship. That is growing up. That's the ultimate of the deeper life, is getting me to that place where eventually, you know, I'm not looking anymore to anything or anyone else. I'm looking to the Lord. Lord, start with me. If a match is to be striked, you are the flame to set it alight. And when that light finally comes, it will be seen and it will be effective. Why? Because it's not by might nor by power. It is by the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who fans the flames. He is the bellows. And he gets it to spread. Because often after a light, a flame occurs, it will only spread when wind moves it. You see? And what is the wind? The Holy Spirit. And so once the flame is ignited, God doesn't leave it to go out. The Holy Spirit will come to sweep it along. And he comes with healing in his wings. He comes with his message, good news of healing, deliverance, salvation. That's why I hold on and I say, thank you, Father. Every message I preach will accompany healing, deliverance, salvation. I say that every time to God. Because it's what I expect, what I believe. Otherwise, it's in vain. What's the purpose? And many times, God, the devil will say to me, well, you haven't got many to ignite this, have you? God's not into numbers. God wasn't into numbers when he reduced Gideon's army. And we know that's a spiritual principle that's in operation. Often too many get in the way, hinder. I've seen a lot of men's ministries anointed by God when they were raised up and they went out. And because they took other people on board who wanted to join them and they come with their ideas and whatever it is, the anointing goes. God will often give a vision to that person and you stay with it and hold to it and see it's accomplished through. The devil's tried that one with me on many occasions. And he'll try it with you. That is why God has given us a vision in these last days to the remnant. And then when God has finished with this remnant, he's got us to the place where he wants us, then we're going to begin to see what will come from this. Because many Christians are burning themselves out. Going to this meeting, that place, this church, this minister, following this and so forth, and getting nothing but more and more confused. Those days are ending. A true Christian can only function. A true Christian, disciple of Christ, can only be fulfilled when he or she has experienced being baptized into the local assembly, into a body to function, to come forth in your ministry. That is the only fulfillment, that is the only joy and peace you can have when you are in God's family, in God's body, under the fivefold ministry who's perfecting and maturing the saints into ministry and so forth. That's God's ultimate. That's the function of it. And your covering is not a man, it's the blood of Jesus. God's restoring it, brothers and sisters. And how is he doing it? He's doing it through the deep valleys. He's doing it in the dark. He's got you and I into that place, into the dark, where all our movements have become slow. You try it. If you've never done it, please try it. Cover your eyes, put a band around your eyes at night, turn all the lights off, and you watch. You suddenly, you know, you become aware. You know, put yourself in a position, a place where you're not so familiar with it. And you'll find you won't move very well. You're not going to move fast. You're becoming sensitive to touch, sensitive to hearing. You know, you completely change. You're in a different gear. That's where God gets our attention. That's where you're trained, because you're out of your comfort zone. Brothers and sisters need to come out of their comfort zone and allow the Holy Spirit to lead them. God was ever doing that with the children of Israel. They didn't like coming out of their comfort zone. They made it very clear. Wish to God we were back in Egypt. That's what they said. But one thing with God, once he gets you out of a place, you'll never go back to it. You see, Israel never did go back to Egypt, even though their hearts were lusting for it. Sadly, they had to perish in the place where he wanted them to be overcomers. But instead, the place where he wanted them to triumph and overcome, using that experience through the wilderness, actually became their burial place. How sad. And there are those that have left this teaching, thinking they're going off from whatever it is, but the very places they're going to and staying become their burial places. How sad. But that is not for us. We're destined for the throne, are we not? Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you for exhorting, encouraging us today. Lord, we thank you that you know when to speak. You know when to say the right thing. You know what we need to hear. And we certainly needed to hear it today, and all those who've come online. I pray too, Lord, that they will be blessed, that their lives will change as a result of this. Lord, help us not to fight you. Help us not to resist you, but you know the right places. You know the crevices to take us to hide us. If it means keeping us in the dark, that's where we're going to learn. That is where we'll be trained. That is where we're going to survive. Lord, we can't always be on the mountaintops. We take it for granted. Those eagles that fly, Father, have had to learn to fly. But an eagle also goes through a period of molting, where it doesn't take to the air, and it has to wait to have a new lot of feathers and a new beak. And it's the same with us. As we're waiting on you, Father, we're learning to hear the Master's voice. And so that right time, when we go and preach on the housetops, we will have a message that is credible. A message that gives true life. A message that doesn't compromise or change the word of God, but is purity, is life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for our fellowship today. Thank you for being with us. It's wonderful, Lord, to experience your presence amongst your people. And so I pray that, Lord, you will ever preserve and bless and keep us till we assemble again in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Rushes onward, ever growing.
and Jesus is.